I think about not be able to preach everything that the Lord had showed me in these verses. But I believe there's a few things that the Lord can help us with this morning. For sure, there's the word. You know, Paul, first of all, talks about he doesn't speak in respect of want, backing up to the verse that Brother Tim preached last night. I got to thinking last night how he started the service off and said, you know, that some verses, there's more to preach and it's better preaching in some than others. And he figured that he would be the dud in the week. And when he wasn't last night, I said, well, that only leaves up to one of the rest of us. If there's one coming, and I just said, oh, God, don't let it be me. And but if it is, I'll be content with it. I'll learn to be content in that state. Obviously, God will want to teach me something. But I do know this. He talked about respect of want. The things he was saying, that word want means a deficiency, absence of that which is necessary and useful to be in need, necessity, poverty, and penury. And he said, the things that I'm saying, I'm not saying it because I'm in want and that I feel like that need ought to be met in my life. The things that I'm saying, I don't say it in respect of want. Here's what he said. He said, I'm saying it because I have learned something. Aren't you glad that God still teaches us? Amen. Still teaches us. And sometimes we have to repeat things because we do not learn them. Now, as I was studying this subject, there's some things that Paul learned. I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't want to have to learn those things. I'm just being serious. What Brother Adam preached last night, I mean, we really want to learn and be put in every situation that Paul was in and learn what he learned. But I mean, he was a man that learned, and we study his life, he learned well and had the right spirit when he came out the other side of it. And God had done such a work in his heart through these things. And the average Christian today, those things would destroy. If God let you go through some of that, there's not enough base that you have with God, not enough relationship that it would probably destroy the average Christian. If we face some of the things that Paul faced, I think about today things that knock people out of the saddle. It's already been preached. You say something about their kid. You know, something doesn't go their way. You know, I've seen song leaders get tore up because, they normally pick all the songs and the pastor stands up that morning and said, God laid on my heart to sing this song and I know that you have, but lay it aside and I believe you are to sing this. And he can't hardly lead for being all tore up in his spirit. The things that destroy us and bother us and cause us to get bitter, I don't know how well we would fare with some of the things we're going to look at this morning, but I know this, I was heavily convicted. Even so much, I told the Lord, I'm probably not the man to preach this. But I know it's truth, and I know God spoke to me with it. And may God help us with it this morning. Here's what he said, I have learned. Whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The word content means rest and quietness of the mind in one's present condition. Satisfaction which holds the mind in peace. There's been so much in the book of Philippians dealing with the mind. And I will say to you that I believe the battle is lost and won in the mind. That will keep him in what? Perfect peace. Thank God for the peace of God. But the Lord added an adjective there that there'll be perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The word stayed means to be fixed there, not to move. It's continually on the Lord. And if you're going to survive this Christian walk with God and end upright, you better keep your mind on the Lord at all times. And whatever comes your way, we need to just realize, I think about this, man, what a great prayer. God give us minds always contented with our present condition. God give us minds that are always contented with our present condition. Now, I don't know some of what you may be going through this morning. I know some things that I've gone through. But while you're there, whatever God has allowed to come your way, God's wanting to teach you something. God is wanting to teach you, you know, for the peace of God that passeth all understanding to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God is wanting to teach us that in that situation, he's wanting us to learn to be content, to be at rest, to be at peace, our minds not afflicted in the present condition we're in. And I know that we can make our request to God that he not leave us there, but we need to determine while we're there, we'll be content. And if God does not remove us out of the condition, that we're satisfied with it, we're at rest with it. You know, the opposite of content is to murmur and complain. I'm the kind of guy that sometimes, I was talking to my wife about it this morning, you know, if you're going to have a hamburger and you show up somewhere to have a hamburger and they've got ketchup and mustard out but there's no mayonnaise, you're like, what in the world? They don't have mayonnaise? And you can't even hardly eat the burger without murmuring the whole time that it doesn't have mayonnaise on it. I mean, that's, I'm just, well, I'm just content not to eat. Well, that's an escape goat, isn't it? But the truth is, the things that we are, I mean, we are such a spoiled society. We have so much and we have too much and we feel like we deserve it. I mean, I love coffee. I drank a cup this morning, but I walked down, and as I walked in, I just had my mind on this. The woman at the motel there, she pulled the coffee, and there was none in it. She got mad. She slammed her cup down, and she was frustrated. I said, okay, God, if there's no coffee, I'm fine with that. I'm content. I wanted it, but this state, I'm okay. It's amazing how maybe even something as simple as a cup of coffee will tear you out of the frame. I deserve my cup of coffee. God knows I must have it every morning. The things that, so we are so spoiled that we have so much that we feel like we deserve so much and so much is due to us. When I find the life of one of the greatest preachers that I believe we could ever preach after the scriptures given, Paul the Apostle, I think about all that God let him go through, and if anybody deserved better, I'd say that man did. He said he was the least of the apostles, but in my consideration, he was the greatest. Outside of Jesus Christ himself. But he saw himself as nothing. And so I think about a contented mind is an invaluable blessing, to have a contented mind. And when we are content, it's because we'll believe that God is always right no matter what he lets us go through. So I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 6, if you would. Two real areas I want to deal with this morning, the next moments that I have. And look in Matthew chapter 6 with me. You know, verses 24 through 34, I'm just going to read them, make a few comments. It's kind of a foundation, and we'll kind of move on quickly from there. Look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon, the unrighteous wealth and the money of this world. We know that money's not evil in itself, but the love of it. We're living in probably one of the most covetous days you could ever live in. We're living in such a days that if somebody comes up and shows you something new they have, your first response is, man, I've got to get one of those. And you're not satisfied until you do. And you'll go to the net and you'll start searching and do it, and it will infect your mind for days. I mean, you'll spend days chasing that thing, trying to find the best deal. And somehow, because you found a good deal, it was God ordained. But it's consumed you for 3 days because a brother so-and-so had it, and my heart's not contented unless I get it. And then we'll move. Hey, we will. I'm preaching to myself here. Hey, we'll buy the latest, greatest computer. I mean, I remember. Do you remember the days when you turned on the net and it was and the picture started coming up for 15 minutes and you're like, wow. But we have to have it like the, I mean, if it's not, if our phone, we swipe it, that don't swipe. I mean, we're so, our nation has caused us as God's people to be very not contented in the states we are. I mean, we're living in a society that we want to drive up to a drive-thru and we want to give our order and we don't want any car in front of us, and when we pull up to the window, we want them holding it out. Now, that can't be healthy for anybody if they can make food that fast. But Satan has done a good job conditioning our heart that way. And so he tells us here in the book of Matthew chapter 6, we can't serve, we cannot serve a God, and we cannot serve mammon. And the Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought, look at verse 25, for your life, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Can I say to you that life is such a far more blessing from God than the meat that he would give us. Life is more than meat. But we think life consists in the meat. If we don't have enough of it, and how much we have, life is just horrible. Thank God for life itself. He's the author, the giver of life, the sustainer of life, and all blessings that come our way in our life are given by the hand of God. And so he says here, if you'll look, he said in verse 26, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to a stature? You can't do it. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take ye no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? The truth is, we spend most of our time thinking about those things. It's what consumes our life, not contented in the state we're in. And I'm talking about, that's me. I spend most of my time thinking about the next meal, the next drink. These things consume our minds. And God said, what we need to be concerned about is not that, but be concerned about his kingdom. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now look with me, if you would, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said that take thought for eating, drinking, and raiment. The Bible deals with this subject in a few places. See, we believe that there's a whole lot more things that are necessity than what really are necessities. You study your Bible, you know what God said a necessity is for you to be content with? Food and raiment, be content. I'm not going to go over there and read it, but you remember when Jacob was sent by his father and he was sent to Laban's house to get a wife. As he was along the way, he found a certain place and he took rocks and made them pillows. And as he slept there that night, he dreamed, and you know the story, called it Bethel, the house of God, the ladder all the way up to heaven, angels descending and ascending, and the Lord himself, he woke up and he said, surely God was in this place and I did not know it. And he made a covenant and a vow with God. He said, Lord, if you give me bread and raiment to sustain me till I get back to my father's house, man, I'll serve you all the days of my life and I'll give you a tenth of all that I possess. Now, I wish back there in that, because I believe this is where Paul stems this from, the covenant of that Jacob made with God. It would have been nice if he'd have thrown in there a dwelling place too. But he didn't. You know the dwelling place? The house of God. Bethel. And see, do you remember our Lord Jesus Christ said, the fowls of the air, the birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. I mean, listen, when it comes down to necessities, God said just food and raiment. If that's all we had, would we really be content? I want you to read the book of Corinthians where Paul said, at this present moment, this present time, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we're naked, we're buffeted. We have no certain dwelling place. Now, the Bible said, as long as we had food and raiment, be content. I believe Paul was such a man. He didn't have food, did not have raiment. He was buffeted. He was naked. And at the moment, at that time, no certain dwelling place. You know what I find in Paul the Apostle's life? He was still contented. Naked? Really? Hungry? God has not given you food that he said, as long as you have it, be content. He's not given you raiment that he said, be content. And Paul was in such a place that he knew God was so much in control and he was not going to let his heart get upset with God. And he said, Lord, if you have put me in this state, then obviously you want me to learn more than what the average lesson you want to teach. See, we want God to teach us the minimal lesson, but not the extreme. Paul so much loved God that he could handle the extreme and his heart come out the other side right with God when God put him through it. I'm not sure I'd fare that well. I'm just being honest. I said, Lord, naked, thirsty, I mean starving, cold, buffeted, fighting without nowhere, no certain dwelling. You know what he said? We have nowhere to look. I have nobody in the future, the direction God's sending me. I don't know where we're going to stay. I have no dwelling place right now. I don't know how the situation is going to change. But my mind's at rest in this certain condition because I know God's in control. My situation, God didn't say, oh, Paul, I'm sorry, I forgot what was going on with you, and I'm sorry I let you get there. I'll do my best to fix it. God knew about it before he ever got there. God help us to learn what God wants to teach us when God allows us to go through that God wants us to go through. And many times when we are put in bad situations, you know who we blame? The devil. Not realize many times it will be the design of God. You hear what I said? It will be the design of God. It is God who allowed it. God trying to teach Paul some lessons here. And so with food and raiment, be content. I want you to look over in the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Look there with me. Let's skip some of this for sake of time of reading and just reference some of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what he's saying? He ought to be enough that you have obtained him, and he ought to satisfy. Remember, he satisfied your longing soul. He ought to satisfy every area of our lives. I mean, he is our all in all. He ought to be everything. And so he says, be content with such things as you have. Now, I have learned over my life as a Christian, I have learned some of those lessons, that things do not matter to me what things used to matter. You know what Paul said over there in the book of Acts chapter 20, I've coveted no man's silver, no man's gold, and no man's apparel. You know what, as a preacher, you're going to have our hearts have to be so contented, because there's going to be people in your church that's going to have a whole lot more than what you have. They're going to have things that you'll never be able to have. Matter of fact, they've got stuff and they're doing things that God would never, even if you had the money, God would never let you buy that. There's some things other people have that I'm telling you, it would absolutely ruin my influence as a preacher if I drove what they drove. Tell me if I didn't drive up here in a Lamborghini, $100 million. I got a guy that comes to my church, has a car worth $1.2 million. If I drove up here in the parking lot, he said, preacher, don't give him no love offering. You got a car worth over $1.2 million. In 3 more years, it'd be $1.6 million. There's some things that in my life as a preacher, God will never let me have. It will never be the will of God. And I'm contented with that. I'm happy that you can have some things that God will never let me have some things. And then there's some things that people have that I will never have. I may never have the money to attain that. But you know what? I don't go to bed at night saying, boy, I wish I could have that. I'm satisfied. I'm going to be honest with you. God has allowed me to have a whole lot more than I deserve. I mean, the dwelling place that I have, I do not deserve. I'm a builder, and God, listen, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. There's sometimes God would just give us good gifts he wants us to have, and we're not worthy. I do not deserve the home I live. I mean, God's blessed me with a nice home. My children. I mean, my children, they all have basically their own bedrooms. Some of you grew up where 7 of you had to share a bedroom. 4 brothers have to sleep in the same bed. Outhouses, cracks in the floor, no refrigerator. The day, some of y'all remember the days they had to get ice, the ice man come around to put a block inside of a box with nothing but sawdust inside of it. And man, that was just a blessing from God. I don't think any of us could handle that anymore. I think about how much we have. Do you know the church at Laodicea? See, the Bible says for us to be content with such things as we have. Why? The Lord's our helper. Look in the book of Revelation. Let's read that real quick. Just come to mind. Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 14 with me. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. Now see, Paul knew what it was to abound. I believe he was in some times that he had need of nothing, but he didn't let it make him miserable, poor, wretched, and blind. You know what I find in the Bible? You know what I find that Paul in the book of Acts chapter 20, when I coveted no man's silver or gold, he began to tell them that the words of our Lord Jesus Christ said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He began to deal with giving. And that I believe when Paul had need of nothing, you know what kind of man he was? He saw other people's needs that he talked about, did not shut up his bowels of compassion, and realized that if God put it into his hand, it's not all for him. But him that stole, steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands that thing which is good, that he may what? Have to store up and build bigger barns? That he may have to give to him that needeth. Yeah. You know, one of the reasons we ought to labor is that God blesses the labor of our hands and meets the needs of our family, but one of our heart's desire in laboring should be that we would have to give to him that needeth. But most Christians today, they don't even have their tithe down. They don't even give 10%. And I've got some people that are so tight, when they write their tithe check, they'll write it down to $45.82. Really? Keep the 82 cent. I mean, why not? It would be just easier in the checkbook. You think anybody other preacher? I have people do that. I'm thinking, man, really? Well, thank God they're giving their 10%, but they're not about to give a penny more. I mean, not even a penny. And the average Christian does not even have their tithe down and given to missions and does not have a heart of giving. If I don't expect they're meeting that obligation by God, and I believe that, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And God is a giver, and when he gives that into our hand and increases us, don't take it and heap it up to ourselves, but it's in our hand that God may use us as a channel and meet somebody else's need with it. And that's where the real fulfillment comes as a child of God. Be able to give. Learn to give. Are you preacher boys wanting to be in the ministry? I know too many, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm really not. But I know missionaries that never, ever give to other missionaries, never give to anything, and is always like this. You know it too. I know the temptation. I was a missionary having great needs. But in the middle of it, we learn to be able to give and to give and to meet needs and to reach out to the one that's in need. Because I'm telling you, it's unhealthy if you're just always getting and always getting and always getting and you're never giving. Listen, it will do something dark in your heart. You begin to feel like it's owed you. They owe me. So I say to you, young men wanting to enter the ministry, learn to be a giver at the beginning of your ministry. Learn to give. Learn to see needs and meet them. Be content with such things as you have. This church, I believe that's what's happened in our day, in the fact that churches, we have so much, we're so increased with goods and things that we don't need God, and we feel like everything's okay. And here's what God said: you may have the things of this life, and you knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. And without the rest of it, God begins to say that they're naked spiritually and they don't have the raiment they need and come by of him. You know what the Bible begins to talk about? The parable of the sower. If you study the parable of the sower in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it talks about seed falling among the thorns and the thorns springing up in two places, talks about it choking the word, that it becomes unfruitful. It's the lust of other things. Things are killing us. I'm talking about things. That's why in chapter 3, he talked about that crowd that he was weeping over. They minded earthly things. Their God was their belly.
and they minded earthly things. Their mind was on things, and they were not satisfied unless they have things. You know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us that life consisteth not of the things which a man possesseth. If your status is the things that you have, I'm telling you, God said that this church here had everything heart could wish, but they were a miserable people. They were a wretched people. In reality, they were a poor people, and they were blind. They could not even see it. And God said, the problem is you think you're clothed with the finest clothes, but I see you as naked. I'm afraid that's where most of the average Christianity is. I'm afraid that's where I find myself sometime and don't even know it. Blind and can't even see it. So many things. That's why I said, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, things must be preached on and preached against. People are so consumed that there's some things that have to be named. There are things that are taking people's heart away from God, and we want preachers to leave things alone. But I'm telling you, things, the thorns choked up, it's the lust of other things. And two places it says it chokes the word. It chokes the word. What the word of God wants to do in your life, it chokes it out. Then another place that says it chokes them. See, Satan wants to choke the word of God, and then he wants to choke you. Things will render the word of God ineffective in your life. And then not only that, it will begin to snuff out your own life. It will choke the word, and it will choke God's people. What's doing it? Earthly things. Things. We're living in such a day . I'll tell you what was convicting to me one time. We were moving and we got one of those storage units we put outside our house for about 3-4 months and pack everything in it. And they pick it up and they take it to your new home. And we got everything out of that was stored away, but we left it there. We got everything in our house and all. And when we got all set up, we thought, you know, in a couple of weeks we'd get that stuff out. We looked around and said, what's in there? What more do we need? I mean, I'm like, what's possible? I mean, that thing is full. I don't even know what we put in there. And we began to open it up, and then you start, boy, I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and man, I remember this, and I need this. And you begin to pack all that junk back inside your house. And most of you have more in your storage than some people in third world countries ever have in a lifetime. And we're still not happy. Things will never satisfy. They don't. I saw something one time. I was going to a job working, and I pulled up at a corner road at a stop sign. I looked over. When I come up, this backyard got my huge backyard, huge, beautiful house. And in that backyard, there was, I'm telling you, every toy known to man. I mean, all the plastic houses and the bikes and the slides and the pool. I mean, you know, I mean, it was everywhere. And I thought, man, that must be a nursery or where they keep kids or something during the day. And I looked over there, and there was this little boy about 5 years old sitting in the middle of all of it, thumbing around in the dirt.
It wasn't in Rochester, New York, was it?
No. You know what? That boy was given everything that heart could wish, every toy known to man. He consumed, played with it all. And when he had it all, he looked around and it did not satisfy. At 5 years old, he wasn't satisfied. And why in the world do you think when you get older it's going to satisfy? Happiness is not in things. It's in knowing God and having your heart contented with that which God has given. Be content with such things as you have. I know, guy, listen, I'm telling you, down south, I don't know about you, but down south, you know, if a guy's got a truck and a guy's got it jacked up, he's happy with it, and another guy comes by and it's jacked up higher than his, and he can't sleep until he jacks his up. I found out people want their gods elevated. Exalted. And he comes by, and one guy down there, I'm telling you, the boys in my church are all consumed with and I hope they're listening to the streaming. They're consumed. Somebody rides by and they've got big tires and it's sticking a little bit out of the truck and it's a little more and looks a little more cool. And man, they cannot be contented until they go spend $2,000 on tires and rims and better rims and better tires and jack it up and stickers. And I mean, how many more stickers can you put on the back of a window, on a back window? And you know what? Most of them, they do not have their church sticker up there because it'll mess up how cool the truck looks. I have some of those. They got every sticker known to man, and we have nice on the back of my car. You see, we're in Gethsemane Baptist Church, and they're not about to put that. Well, probably the way they drive, I don't want it put there. But it just isn't cool enough. Mind earthly things. Consumed by earthly things. Devastated. The word of God, Satan wants to choke it out. He wants to choke not only the word, but when he's done with the word, he wants to put his hands around your throat and he wants to choke your life out and he wants to do away with you. Be content with such things as you have. I want you to look in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Nothing is wrong with having things as long as those things do not have you. Amen. Listen, now, God's not against us having some things. But when our life is so consisted in that thing, we're so covetous. You know, the Bible says that we are to honor the Lord with our substance. It's the things we have. The things we have, that we would honor him with it. And your preacher, he's back there. He came to my church. You know what he preached? At my church, I preach it. I believe it. Have preached it. Still preach it. And he preached at our church. And he said, you know, if there's somebody in here that has a nice bass boat and you've got it and God blessed you, why don't you use it to be a blessing to some of God's people who maybe never have an opportunity to get in a boat and go fishing like that. Take some boys fishing. You got things. God's blessed you with things. Hey, quit hoarding. Hey, man, who in here's got a bass boat? I love fishing. The things that you have, use it to be a blessing. Don't hoard it up to yourself and it's covetous and it's mine and don't you touch it. And if you've got something that you have, it's just so untouched. You know, people have those rooms in their house. You can't even sit on the chair. If Jesus come in with his dusty feet, he wouldn't be allowed in your special room. And I do believe in taking your shoes off where you go in the house. If my wife's listening, she's going, no, you don't. Don't tell those people that. You're lying. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But the things that we have, we ought to use it to be a blessing. A blessing. You go hunting. I like hunting. All my boys like hunting. They all have guns. And you have a place that you could take somebody hunting and you know, you won't because you're afraid they're going to kill your deer. I know how that is. I know how that, I mean, I've had, you know, I mean, the boys with the hunt property, we go to my dad's. We were all going to my son, my 11-year-old son this year. It was the first hunt that he had of the year, and we went there, and they're like, well, you can sit wherever you want, but you can tell they really didn't want him sitting in this place. They wasn't sure, but they're like, you can sit there anyway. He's the only thing shot anything that day. And I don't know how contented everybody was with it, to be honest with you. He sure was contented. But, you know, you ought to use that. Somebody don't have a gun, never been hunting. The boy wants to go. You ought to take him, put him in a deer stand and hope he kills that big deer. I'm just saying the things that God's put in your hands, I believe we are to use it. We are to be a blessing. We are to be able to share. We are to have to give to him that needeth. And not only needeth, God so blessed us. How about help us to bless somebody else's life? Honor God with our substance to be a blessing. Consumed with earthly things. Life consisteth not of the things which a man possesseth. I want to read that to you. Go over in the book of Luke chapter 12. Something here I want you to see. Look in Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Bible says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And isn't that something to come to Jesus about?
I mean, he come to the Lord, his brother's being covetous, and he's not getting really what he wants. And he goes to the Lord and said, make my brother divide this thing with me. Look at the Lord's answer. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Isn't it something sometimes we go to God about? Covetous things? Covetous? Praying, most people spend their request in the prayer room all about what they want. What they want. You know what the Bible said? Man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul. What should it profit him? What should a man give in exchange for his soul? And I'm telling you, listen, thank God for good jobs and making good money. But boys, you better learn, gentlemen, you better learn to see God's kingdom first. Never take a job that's going to put you out of the ministry or take you away from the church or take you away from the things of God. I don't care how much money they're offering you. Your testimony and your God and your religion and your church are not to be for sale. I made that decision early in my life, early as a young Christian, and I've stood by it. God has absolutely blessed my life because of it. You may be in a circumstance and it's, you know, the man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth, but I'm telling you, it condemned me if I was somewhere else and I made a choice to do something that I could have had a choice to do something different about it, and I wasn't in church because I chose to take this thing. It condemned me too much. Doesn't condemn you, and you could do that with God, then happy is a man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. But I couldn't be happy doing it. And I could not be happy working a certain job that was not conducive to a Christian. Sometimes you're going to have, there's certain jobs that Christians cannot work, should not work. I got a young lady in my church, just got saved by the grace of God, just got born again, and God's changing her life, and she was working at a sports bar where she had to give alcohol, and she's just been saved a couple months, and she has quit that job because she realized, I cannot be right with God. Took the nose rings out of her nose and began to change the way she dressed, and she had her head shaved on one side, and she's letting it grow out, and she just loves God has changed her.
Amen.
Certain things, if you're going to be saved and serve God, you're not going to be able to do.
Not going to be able to.
Seek first. You say, man, I've got to do this thing. Don't you know I've got to provide for my family? Where we started reading is the Gentiles are seeking after all these things. God said, but you seek my kingdom first. And all that stuff you'll try to kill yourself and stress about and work yourself down to the nub to try to get may not be able to provide. That God said, I will provide that for you. Let me say, he's done it for me all these years. He's been faithful. He's been faithful. I deserve to be in the condition Paul was in. No dwelling place, naked, no food, nothing to drink. God's never allowed me to get there. And I thank him for that. Boy, thank him in all things. That's something to thank him about. Be thankful. And so, young people, if you try to get married and you set your heart on everything it took your mom and dad and other people 40 years to attain or 30 years or 25 years, and you can't be happy unless you have all that, and you'll kill yourself and you'll charge up credit cards, you make dumb decisions, you buy cars that you cannot afford, things you can't have, and toys and all these things that you think is going to make you happy, and before long you are a bondman and a slave and a servant to all that stuff that's robbing you and draining you spiritually.
Amen.
And will defeat you and leave you miserable. You better learn now. The Bible's right when it says life consisteth not in the things which a man possesseth. It's not happy. You possess the greatest thing you could. I think my time's up. I can't remember what time I start. I'm going to quit right there. Amen. May God take it and use it in your life however God's done it.